Hi, I'm Tom Bloomer.
And I'm Kelly Bloomer.
And we're your hosts. Kelly, you're giving me a strange look.
We have to change this. To say both of us to say our last name in the beginning.
But we have new listeners every week. They don't know who we are.
I understand that, but first names are good.
Okay. We'll work on a new concept.
Okay.
Would that make you happy?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
And you'll be thankful if for our listeners next week, we have a brand new introduction.
That would be exciting.
All right. I will do that. We'll work on that together. This is the perfect week to work on it. Thanksgiving holiday, one of my favorite times of the year. I'm very thankful. Anything in particular you're really thankful for?
I'm thankful that we were able to move down here to be closer to the kids.
Yeah. We've been down here, what, about a year and a half now?
Yes.
Can't even imagine what it would have been like through this pandemic if we were still in Jersey and they were down here in Carolina.
True. Let alone would Kayla let us enter her house.
I'm sure she wouldn't. No, and I'm sure some of our listeners are dying to see family these holiday season and may not be able to. So hopefully we'll all be able to do that.
Very soon.
Very soon. I'm really thankful, along with being close to the kids, for all the connections we've made over the past several weeks.
Yes.
From the minute we started working on this podcast, we've been connecting with people, building relationships, and some of the most amazing people I've talked to in a long time.
Yeah.
And you've met a lot of people down here in Apex.
Yes.
A lot of great connections.
Yeah, we've got friends and great connections, like you said.
Absolutely. And today's guest, all the way from Canada.
Wow. Right?
One of the first connections. I'm really thankful that he reached out to me, or I reached out to him. I don't even remember now, but one of my first connections on LinkedIn. Mm-hmm. And we started talking and looking at each other's content. And, you know, we're miles away, but just so very like-minded. And you're going to get a kick out of this. He lives in Canada.
Right.
He's got an amazing background of the things that he's done.
Right.
He got to a point in his life, he doesn't want to get in an airplane anymore.
Oh,
yeah.
I understand that.
You understand that. But he doesn't want to travel to these beautiful areas in Canada that you and I dream of visiting someday.
Really?
Yeah. He doesn't want to go there anymore.
Wow.
So I volunteered us.
Okay.
I said, we'll be happy if he finds a client to go to those areas.
I'm there.
Yeah. But then he told me right now, from our country, we're not allowed into Canada.
Of course not.
So we are here today with Jeff Goldstein from salesleadersonly.com. Jeff, I got to be honest with you. I have really enjoyed following you on LinkedIn. You put some amazing content. As founder of salesleadersonly.com, how about sharing a little bit of your story with us?
Sure. Well, my pleasure, Tom. Great to be here. Well, over the last 20 years, I've been building out sales teams as VP, GM, and Canadian president of high-tech subsidiaries, really of large US-based tech companies. Hewlett-Packard, people are familiar with, Data General got bought by EMC, NetApp, Veeam Software. So all multi-billion dollar US parents that I've had the honor of leading the Canadian subsidiaries. And while I'm an engineer by training, I've spent my entire career grinding out a sales number, right? Every week, month, and quarter, I've always had income at risk.
I'm sorry to interrupt, Jeff, but that's the key, right? I think for good sales leaders, they have to have been invested in part of that process.
I totally agree. You know, and part of it is really having income at risk. So my entire career, I always had a commission check. So I was always driven by spending time and getting close to the field, close to customers, close to partners, and really to the sales teams that make it happen. But after over 2,000 or actually 3,000 forecast calls and 200 big, what I call big rock reviews, big deal reviews, I thought it was time to retire from the weekly forecasting business we call technology sales leadership and do something else where I could put my knowledge and experience together to help others ramp to productivity way faster than they could all on their own. And that's where salesleadersonly.com was born.
How did you come up with the criteria to put that knowledge to work for your next gig?
Well, you know, Tom, there were actually three criterias that were important to me. The first one was no forecast calls. Having done 3,000, I thought that was enough.
That's enough at this point.
Exactly. The second criteria for my next gig was no employees. You know, in my last role, we had 125 people. And I really thought no forecast calls, no employees. and no travel to places I don't want to go. Right. And that I had no idea at the time that this COVID thing was happening where nobody was traveling. But, you know, like so many people who've been at this for a while, I've traveled hundreds of thousands of miles on airplane. I think all the joy out of air travel is gone. And I just decided no forecast calls, no employees, no travel to places I don't want to go. And that's really where Sales Leaders Only was born. The whole notion of taking my knowledge and applying it as a solopreneur to help others ramp to productivity way quicker than they could all on their own.
So Jeff, there is a lot of sales training available out there. What makes you different? What is your key focus at salesleadersonly.com?
All right, so Tom, here's a controversial statement you might not agree with. In my experience, 95% of all sales leaders have no written plan or process to inspect, assess, and coach their team to help them win big deals. They just don't. What sales leaders have is instinct and experience, sometimes lots of it, but most have no intentional and deliberate process or cadence around big deal selling. Great sales reps get promoted and then anointed to sales leaders. No one teaches them how to inspect, assess, and coach their teams. The boss just assumes they know how to do this. And that's a big assumption and often a big mistake as well.
Jeff, that's a huge mistake. And I've seen it for years as you have. We take these really good sellers, people that are successful, they're great at what they're doing. We put them in this new role and no fault of their own, but they just don't seem to get the training they need to be just as successful there.
Totally agree with you. We don't teach anybody how to do this. And so that's really the notion, that's really the niche I'm focused on, helping sales teams and their leaders in technology win more big deals. There's clearly a lot of sales training out there that's available at the top of the funnel. Sales activities like prospecting, handling objections, account management, but there's actually very little training to help sales teams or their leaders once they've found a big deal they want to win. So that's my niche. It's narrow, but very deep. I help sales leaders and their team win more big deals. And since big deal selling is critical to moving the forecast needle, winning just one extra big deal per rep each quarter can have a huge impact on the manager and the reps, sales results, forecast accuracy, and income. It's really hard to beat your forecast if you don't win your unfair share of big deals in your sales funnel that quarter.
That can pretty much ruin a quarter, can't it?
Hi, this is Brian from Boston. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
Okay, so Jeff, let me ask you, the sales leaders that are listening today, what are two of the questions that they absolutely should be asking themselves, or what questions would you ask them today?
Sure. So the first question I ask sales leaders is, have you got an intentional and deliberate process to manage your forecast? And then 99% of the time, the answer is, of course, forecasting is really important to my boss and what interests her fascinates me. And then I ask another question. Have you got a specific process and cadence to review the big deals in the forecast? And 90% of the time, the answer is sure, the forecast. Then I call BS. The forecast call is not an opportunity review. There simply is not enough time on a forecast call to dig deep and really inspect all the moving parts of a complex sales campaign. There just isn't. Then finally, just to probe a bit different, I ask how much time the sales leader is spending inspecting and assessing deals out quarter. And then they tilt their head and go, out quarter? I go, yes, next quarter. Most sales leaders look at me like I have two heads. You know, and they say, who has time to think about deals next quarter? I'm so busy dealing with this quarter and the day to day. And then I go, exactly. Most sales leaders have no process to inspect, assess, and coach their team's big deals in and out quarter. And so the value I bring is to help sales leaders ruthlessly qualify and help their teams so they never spend time or resources on big deals they can't win. That's where I help, and that's my focus.
Time is critical, Jeff. So you don't want us spending time on deals we can't win?
Time or resources. Because when you think about it, time, it's your time, you know, it's the rep's time, but often selling is a team sport. And so they have a technical person, they might get their boss involved, they might have a partner involved. And before you know it, reps are chasing based on their leadership and bringing a lot of resources to bear, often on deals they can't win. And that's clearly a waste of time, energy, and resources that could be better spent elsewhere inside the organization.
Yeah. I'm guessing that this is where the leader that just wings it is potentially wasting a lot of time if they don't have that process you're talking about.
Without an intentional and deliberate process, they just go day to day, you know, kind of wandering around in the territory, seeing where they can help. And that often is not the most productive use of the leader's time or their sales team's time.
So Jeff, with that being a major issue that our sales leaders have, how do you help them focus and win bigger deals?
Well, Tom, it's actually a two-step process. The first step is free, and the second step is billable.
So, all right, well, for our listeners today, let's start with the free process.
All right. Well, the first thing I do is offer a free one-hour masterclass to first and second line sales leadership teams, where I talk about the top six questions sales leaders should be asking right now to inspect, assess, and coach their team's big deals, including lessons I learned from the 2008 recession. Then if the leaders like the content and feel I can add value to their leaders and senior sales reps, I teach them my course called Winning the Six-Figure Sale.
All right, Jeff, so I'm wondering, can you share what those six questions are with us today?
Sure. So the first question I ask is, do you have a cadence to review your top 10 deals, right? And we talked a little bit about the forecast earlier, but this is not about the forecast. This is a cadence to review the top 10 deals in their sales funnel, both in quarter and out quarter. Then I ask them, do you have a process to inspect, assess, and coach your team's big deal other than instinct and experience? Then question number three is, can you name the top 10 steps and stakeholders in a complex sales campaign? And what I find is most leaders can get through question, you know, six or seven, but never get all 10. They often can get to six, sometimes seven, but they usually miss things like gaining a competitive edge, thinking about customer success, those kinds of things they often don't think about, even though instinctually they actually do in their sales campaign. Then question four is, are you ruthlessly qualifying your team's big deals using a rapid assessment tool that includes questions called BANT, budget, authority, need, and timing? Some simple questions, but ruthless qualification so they don't spend time or effort on deals they can't win.
So that's budget,
authority, need, and timing, BANT.
Those are the four questions they need to ask, right?
Certainly around the front end of the qualification process. Mm-hmm. Then I ask sales leaders, given all the things you now recognize you need to do, what will you stop doing so you can spend more time on your big deals? And then that often forces leaders, because they're always busy, they're always activity driven. Sometimes the urgent overtakes the important. So I ask them to reflect, okay, if you're going to now do some new things, what are you going to stop doing to make time for them? And then finally, I ask them how aggressively they're managing their team's performance right now in the middle of COVID. And this is a little bit of a different question, but you know, one of the things I discovered is the sales reps who were on the bottom of the sales leaderboard going into the recession turn out also to be the reps on the bottom of the leaderboard after, and sometimes long after, we've come out of the recession. So this whole notion of how aggressively should you be managing sales performance in the middle of a recession is always an interesting question, but I think a really critical one.
But so many sales leaders have not been through something like this before. So, but I do have to ask you, do most sales leaders, are they spending most of their time right now on big deals, or do you find they're wasting time on a lot of other things?
I find it's a very ad hoc process. You know, I find 90% of them, 95% of sales leaders have no process. So yes, are they inspecting big deals? Sure. Often it's, you know, they go on a sales call to meet a big customer with a sales rep. So before they go on the call, they go into Starbucks and they spend time, you know, on Starbucks and start to quiz the reps. But most of them don't have the same set of questions. Most of them don't make it a coaching call. And so most leaders do this with experience and instinct, because remember, they were successful salespeople. That's how they got their job. But it's now they need to teach others how to do this. And many of them are actually unconsciously competent. They know how to do it. They just don't know how to teach it. And that's where I help them.
Yep. They're relying on the sales rep having the same ability they had. And that doesn't always work out.
That doesn't always work, for sure, Tom.
All right. So, Jeff, you're talking about a rapid assessment tool. I just want to dig a little bit deeper. That sounds like a very powerful thing for our sales leaders.
Absolutely, Tom. I think the question is, how do you quickly assess whether a deal has been ruthlessly qualified? And the methodology I use is a thing called BANT. Now, I can't take credit for it. It's been around forever. I think IBM invented it back in the 50s. But what BANT stands for is budget, authority, need or business outcome, and timing, right? So it's very easy to remember. And so, you know, some of the questions I ask is, has the budget been approved? More importantly, has the budget been released to be spent? And then the most important question these days is, what's changed in the customer's approval or budgeting process? And if the customer says nothing, that's a big red flag. Then we talk about authority. Are you speaking with decision makers who has the final authority to spend the budget? And then I ask people, have you met that person in person, which today is very hard to do. So I think the next best thing is getting on a Zoom video call and seeing if you can't connect with that person and really just spend some time talking about your project. Then needs and business outcome. This is a really important one. You know, the question is, what needs or business outcomes is the solution addressing? And these days, given the COVID, it's all about, is the project strategically relevant, tactically urgent, and provide rapid time to value? And if it doesn't meet those three criteria, your project might be one of those that gets moved to the bottom of the pile. Might still get approved, but frankly, will probably take longer if it's not strategically relevant, tactically urgent, or provide rapid time to value. And then the final thing is around timing. The question I always ask is, what is the compelling event that will cause the project to close when forecasted? And then more importantly, I ask, what happens if the customer misses the compelling event? And if the answer is nothing, then it wasn't that compelling after all. So those are the four questions I use: budget, authority, need, or more importantly these days, business outcome and timing. Ask your reps those questions and see how comfortable they are with their ability to answer those questions.
Yeah, and Jeff, you might not be able to take credit for that, but to me, every sales leader today, that's the four things they have to ask every sales rep on every prospect to really understand where they're at.
So, you know, I think it's all about ruthlessly qualifying and taking the happy ears off as we talk to customers.
Absolutely. So, Jeff, in keeping with that, those are really powerful things that I think are critical now with where we're at in this COVID environment. We're near year end. You've already told us how critical it is people to look ahead to Q1. What other things does a sales leader absolutely need to be aware of right now today?
Well, I think there's several things and really several lessons, Tom, we learned from the 2008 recession. And I think they're playing out all over again with COVID. So the first thing is just think about what's going on inside your customer. You know, the VP of finance is seeing his revenues come down, or her revenues come down. And guess what? They have to cut projects. They have to think about cutting people and projects and OPEX and CAPEX. Because revenue is down, that means expenses have to be down. So what that means is, even more importantly, to ruthlessly qualify, as we just talked about. I think another thing that's going on is signing authorities inside the customers that you're talking to are being reduced. So that person that was giving you business for the last 5 years, they may not know yet that when the next time they go to get a purchase order, they're going to find they need an additional signature to actually get that deal approved. And so you need to bake time in to really understand that, you know, what used to be a quick approval is now probably a much longer approval because there are other people involved.
A tactful way to ask that? Like, how can we figure that out in a good way?
Well, so I think the question is, you know, what's changed with your budgeting or procurement process these days? And if the customer says nothing, then you got to probe deeper, because either he doesn't know or she doesn't know, which can happen, or they want to still have you believe that they're making the decision. But when they say nothing has changed, that's a big red flag that you need to drill down on more deeply. You know, in addition to yourself, who else is involved in the decision-making process these days, right? That might be another way to ask the question. And I think the answer is you really need access to power to qualify your deal. So, and that, you know, I'm in the technology business. That's probably no longer the technical manager. You know, budgets have moved up. Signing authority has been reduced. You got to get to that VP of finance or the person who owns the budget. So it's really all about who has discretionary ability to spend the budget. And that's why I'm back to, in addition to yourself, who else needs to be involved in approving budgets these days with COVID? I think a really important question. I think we talked a little bit about this in Bant, but thinking about what type of project you're trying to get approved. So strategically relevant, tactically urgent, provide rapid time to value. That's never been more important than today, because those are the projects that are getting funded. And I think the net of all this is assume your sales cycle is going to be longer, which probably means you need more pipeline, which is something that scares reps to death. But if you need three deals to hit your number and you've only got three, one of those these days is going to get delayed. If you have 10 deals and you only need three, the best three will bubble up and you'll get to focus on those. So I think the key to being successful in this recession is not working on lousy deals and trying to get them to convert. It's to find more pipeline in your pipe that you can work on. And that's hard to do these days, but critically important for you to, at the end of the quarter or month or whatever your measure is, hit your number.
Yep. And it goes back to what you were saying earlier with us about where you spend your time, right? They need to be spending their time correctly, not just wishfully hoping that these couple of deals are all going to close.
Totally agree.
My name is Alex from Chicago. Okay, Boomer, teach me something about sales.
So, Jeff, you've given us a lot of good information for our sales leaders today. I'm right there with you. I think more of our sales leaders need to develop a strong process like you're putting out. But as you've said, they don't all have it yet. So talk to our sales professionals out there that are not getting this kind of leadership. Can you give them two or three takeaways that they can do on their own if they're not getting it from their leader?
Sure. I'm totally with you, Tom. So the first thing I would suggest to sellers is you need to build a relationship map of all the stakeholders you need to meet and influence. Right? So not an org chart, but really who are the key decision makers? Who's in the power base? So I would just build a chart of who are the decision makers you need to meet and then answer these three questions. Have you met them in person? Are they pro, negative, neutral, coach, Fox? Like how do they feel about your solution? And then finally, are they in the power base? Are they a decision maker, a direct influencer, a coach, a Fox, or I don't know. And you can build a little org chart with the, you know, the name of the person you need to meet, influence their title. And then have you met them? How do they feel about your solution and where are they in the power base? And you'll quickly start to see who do you need to cover off and then perhaps get some help from your boss or a partner to go, that's an important person. I need to go meet them. So that's the first thing I would suggest. The second thing I would suggest is you build a checklist of all the steps that you need to cover off in your complex sales campaign. You know, even if you've been selling for a long time, you have instinct and experience, but you need a roadmap, because it's so easy, especially when we're under stress of hitting numbers, to miss an important step in the sales process. And even experienced pilots never jump into a cockpit and go, hey, I've been doing this for 30 years, let's go.
Boy, we sure hope not.
They look at the co-pilot and they go, let's manually go through a step-by-step checklist. So that's the second thing I would do. And then the third thing I would do is ask yourself as a seller, what are you going to stop doing to spend more time focused on your big deals? You know, building a relationship map takes time. Building a checklist takes time. And you're already busy. So, you know, a favorite expression of mine is the enemy of the best is the good. There are a lot of good things you could be doing with your time. The question is, what's the best thing? right? Are you focused on the important as opposed to the urgent? And are you working on the critical few as opposed to the maintenance many? So this is all about, as a sales rep, you can be very busy. And the analogy I use is you can be in a very high performance dragster, you know, drag racing car. I forget what they're called, dragster.
Right.
And the wheels are spinning and there's lots of dust, but you're not actually going very far. So the real thing is sometimes to just take your foot off the gas, focus your energy on the most important things to drive your success, and you'll end up finding that you actually move much faster. So those are the three things: build a relationship map, build a checklist, and get focused on what you're going to stop doing to make more time to do some of the more important things that sometimes get forgotten.
Fantastic. And Jeff, it seems to me like those experienced sellers, as you mentioned, they're the ones that probably need to do this reality check, because some of the things they've been doing maybe aren't working the same way. So I think this is great information for everyone, even if they've been doing this for 30 years.
Totally agree. Instinct and experience and recession, those three things don't always go together, you know, and not everybody was selling 12 years ago in 2008. So it's time to go back to basics, but you need to focus on those basics as opposed to the things that just keep you busy.
Excellent. So Jeff, I want to thank you for spending some time sharing with us some of the things that go into your masterclass. It sounds to me like someone going through it is going to get some real skills they can put right into action.
Yes, absolutely, Tom. They do what's worked for them in the past. That's instinct and experience that I spoke of earlier. But those skills are not easy to teach. And if they aren't consciously competent and have built out a process that's intentional and deliberate, they struggle. So there you have it. That's what salesleadersonly.com is all about. Perhaps more than you ever cared to know. And you can reach me at jeff@salesleadersonly.com or just reach out on LinkedIn and let's connect. I'm easy to find and happy to be connecting.
Absolutely. And Jeff, as I said in the beginning, I love seeing the content. It's great for our listeners to know you're putting content like this out every week on LinkedIn. So it's definitely a great follow. And I think that's why I enjoy speaking with you so much, Jeff, because we have a very similar approach. We get people thinking. There's a lot of things out there. And to me, thinking about it and understanding you need to learn more is really step number one.
I totally agree. Really appreciate the opportunity to chat with you and your audience today, Tom. It's been my pleasure.
You got it, Jeff. Thank you. So that's it. That's today's show. Okay, Boomer, teach me sales.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Be sure to subscribe and follow. We hope you make us a part of your week. And don't forget to share with your friends and coworkers.
Should we mention the website?
Sure. The website, OKBoomerTeachMeSales.com.
And where can they engage with us?
LinkedIn @Thomas J. Bloomer.
We hope to see you there.